Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Message Broker Version 7 Security Administration. Today's presenter is Eric Kirk. Eric is an IBM software engineer supporting WebSphere Message Broker. His current responsibilities include resolving customer issues related to WebSphere Message Broker, developing and managing internal automation tools, and managing internal database applications used across IBM support. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Eric.
Thank you, Joseph. Again, today's topic is WebSphere Message Broker 7, Security Administration. I'm Eric Kirk. Joseph, can you go to slide 2? Okay, for today's agenda, we'll go through the highlights of Message Broker 7 security. We'll take a look at version 7 compared to earlier versions of the product with respect to their components. We'll look at broker administration security, which involves activating security, authorization queues, authorization levels, examples, and deactivating security. Then we'll go through the command changes that resulted from this implementation of security model in version 7. We'll take a brief look at the migration with respect to Config Manager ACLs in Message Broker 7 support. Then we'll go through general debugging techniques and a brief summary. Slide 3. So for the highlights of Message Broker 7 security, the Config Manager that existed in earlier versions of the product has been removed. Message Broker 7 uses the MQ security model, which replaces the Config Manager ACLs and uses the user ID in the MQMD. Security is disabled by default. Message Broker security administration involves the PubSub function and security have been moved into MQ, and the administrative duties have been simplified as a result. Slide 4. Okay, in this section, we're taking a look at version 6.1 components, and version 6 and version 5 were very similar as well. In version 6.1, what you see here is in the diagram, we involve the Config Manager, the brokers, and connecting applications. In the upper left of the slide, you'll see the toolkit, the CMP API, which is the Config Manager Proxy API, and those applications, the IS02 support pack, and deploy commands, all would connect to the Config Manager over MQ. The Config Manager would take any of those requests and parse those requests, send those over to the appropriate brokers, and the brokers would parse those requests, update the configuration, respond back over MQ to the Config Manager. The Config Manager would process those responses and then pass the response back to the toolkit or whatever application was connected. On the other side of things, you had Message Broker commands, which would connect to the brokers directly over MQ. Slide 5. Now, in version 7, what we see is the toolkit, the Config Manager API applications, Message Broker Explorer, and the deploy commands all connect to the brokers directly over MQ. The broker commands also have remained, and they connect directly to the brokers over MQ as well. Slide 6. So the broker administration security, broker administration authorizations, if you're a broker administrator, typically you would want to be in the MQ brokers group and the MQ group membership for commands resulting in new queues. Slide 7. So, as we said, broker administration security in version 7 is deactivated by default. So in this section, we're discussing activation. Now, during the creation of the broker, what you can do is in the MQSI create broker command, there's a new option, the dash S, and by default, the dash S will be inactive if you don't include it in the create broker command. If you wish to create the broker with security activated, then you'll use the dash S option and set it to active. Now, after the broker creation, which is you, if you decide that you want to switch broker security to active, then you use the MQSI change broker command and use the dash S option and set it to active as you would in the create broker. This would be a good thing to do if you want to first create your broker and just confirm that your broker runs, confirm your connectivity, and so on, so you can confirm that this broker is up, running, and ready for service. Then, at that point, you can activate security. Now, MQM group membership is going to be required to run these commands. The security queues created are going to be, as a result of turning on security, are the system broker auth and then execution group name queues. Slide 8. Okay, here we have a broker administration security authorizations table. This basically is going to give you the connectivity authorizations for administering this your broker. For example, you have the object, which is the queue manager, the name, the queue manager associated with the broker, for example, message broker 7 queue manager. You'll need the permissions connect and inquire. Now, for a queue, you'll have the system broker deploy queue, and your permissions would need to be put. For the next queue, system broker deploy reply, you'll need get and put. And for the system broker auth queue, you'll need inquire. Slide 9. Here we describe the tasks and authorizations. So for the task of setting broker properties, creating, deleting, and setting configurable services, creating, deleting, renaming execution groups, you will need an authorization of read and write on the system broker auth queue. Reviewing the broker properties, configurable services, and listing the execution groups, you'll need read authorization on the system broker auth queue. To start or stop execution groups, you'll need read and execute authorization on the system broker auth or system broker execution group name queue. To set execution group properties, add, remove deployable objects, you'll need read and write authorization on the system broker auth and system broker auth EG name queue. Now, EG name here is your execution group name. And as far as these authorizations, I'll go over shortly how to actually implement this in MQ security. To view execution group properties, list the message flows and other deployable objects, you'll need read on the system broker auth queue and read on the system broker EG name queue. Starting or stopping resource statistics collection or start and stop message flows, you'll need read and execute system broker auth queue and the system broker auth execution group name queue for stopping and starting a message flows. To report statistics, you'll need read on the system broker auth queue as well as the system broker auth execution group name queue. Slide 10. Okay, here we're talking about the authorizations here. For example, in message broker 7 authorization, a read, you'll need a plus INQ set for MQ. I'll actually show you how to set this shortly in one of the following slides using an MQ command. For write, you'll need a put, and for execute, you'll need a set. Slide 11. Okay, here are some examples of how to actually set the settings that you'll need in MQ Security to implement those authorizations we described in the previous table. For example, to grant read authority to a group called dev on all execution groups, you would use the set MQ auth command. You would provide a -m for the queue manager name. In this case, it's mb7qmgr. And then you would give the name of the resource or the queue, the system broker auth dot ** queue. I'll explain what this means. And then a minus T to tell what object that you're setting, the queue. And then a -g for group, which is dev, and then you give it a plus INQ. This is going to give read authority to all members of dev on all execution groups. And the all execution groups comes from the ** at the system.broker.auth.** queue that you specified. Now, to grant write authority to the group admin for the broker, you would use the set MQ auth command again. And in this case, you would specify the system broker auth queue, and you would give the group admin privileges of put. To grant execute authority to the group dev for an execution group called EG name, then you would use the set MQ auth command again, specifying the system broker auth EG name, whatever EG name you have. And then you would give the group name dev and use a plus set. Slide 12. Okay, now, assuming that you've activated security, at some point you may want to deactivate it for some debugging measures. And to do that, you would use the MQSI change broker command, and you would set the -s to inactive. Now, disabling security does not delete any security queues that were created as a result of turning security on. Slide 13. So you can discuss the command changes. Now, the -s option, again, has been added to the MQSI create broker. It's set to disabled or inactive by default. The MQSI change broker has the -s. Again, you have values of active and inactive. And the MQSI delete broker optionally includes the -s as well and deletes the system broker.auth queues when it's used. Slide 14. Here are some general debugging techniques. For example, if you have a command that's communicating with the broker about a user, maybe in a group or whatever the case may be, if that command or the task fails and you suspect that there may be a security issue, then you can narrow the scope by temporarily adding that user to MQM and MQ brokers, and then just test the basic connectivity there. That will help you isolate problems that may result of there being issues with the user on the operating system or possibly some environment issues that don't really involve, you know, connectivity with MQ security. You can check the permissions of the user using the display MQ auth command, the DSP MQ auth, and I give an example here of how to use that. General bug debugging techniques. One of the problems that I ran into when setting up the security for the broker is when you run security commands against MQ, MQ caches security. So you may run a command setting some permissions and then see that those permissions haven't taken effect. So a way to refresh security without restarting the config manager is to use the run MQSP space queue manager name, and then use the command refresh security. what that will do is cause the MQ to update its current security cache. Slide 15. Now here in the, with regards to migration, as you may be aware, or if you're users of version 6.1 and version 6, they use the config manager. And as part of using the config manager, you have config manager ACLs. Now, config manager ACLs are not automatically migrated over to version 7 brokers. Config manager has been removed. The brokers do not implement config manager ACLs, and so they're not automatically migrated. Now, but you can still use the config manager ACLs as a basis for Message Broker 7 security implementation. You can do that by using the MQSI list ACL entry command. And here's some sample output that you would see here, where you would have the principal type, access type, object name. For example, here's the work group here, and the username Allie, and which is a user. It has full privileges to an execution group default on the broker. Now, you can take this information and use the tables that I provided earlier to see what kind of MQ permissions you need to set to accommodate or to simulate this type of ACL. Slide 16. So here is a breakdown of the principles you have. So in earlier versions of the product, prior to version 7, you would have a username. You still have username in Message Broker 7. You have group names in earlier versions, and you still have that in Message Broker 7. Machine and domain name you can use in SSL and security access. All machines, for example, in the config manager ACLs of prior versions, you had an option there to include a user from any machine. And in this case, in version 7, you could still implement the same ACL. Slide 17, please. Okay, so for principal types, users and groups, you have both in prior versions and version 7. Slide 18. Now, object types. And in this case, in earlier versions, you had the config manager proxy and included in the ACLs of the config manager. You don't have that in version 7, and neither do you have that or PubSub topology. Now, for the broker, you do have that in version 7. The execution group, of course, you have that in version 7. Now, subscriptions and topic group, you do not have in version 7 because PubSub has been moved or is now implemented in MQ. Slide 19. Okay, so here is a table for the permissions. In the earlier versions of the product, the ACLs for view access, that translates to read in MQ security of Message Broker 7. Full control translates to read, write, and execute in Message Broker 7. Deploy access translates to read and write in Message Broker 7. Editor access is read or write in Message Broker 7. And what's new in Message Broker 7 is the execute. Now, again, you can take this table and map it onto the other tables that I provided earlier in the presentation and see how to actually implement this with the set MQAuth commands that I described earlier. Slide 20. Okay, here's a summary, brief summary of what we've discussed for Message Broker 7 security. It has been simplified. You know, we've used the MQ security model. The config manager has been removed, so there's less permissions that you have to deal with respect to MQ, as well as the config manager ACL. The config manager and user name server both are removed in Message Broker 7. Thus, the Broker Security Administration can be activated and deactivated using that -S option that we described earlier. The create broker, change broker, and delete broker commands have all been changed to include this -S option. And then the migrations of the ACLs is manual. This is doable. You use the MQSI list ACL entry output and the tables that I provided earlier to migrate those ACLs. Slide 21. Okay, here are some additional WebSphere product resources. You can learn about WebSphere support, technical exchange webcasts, and previously recorded presentations at the following link that we provide. And then you can discover the latest trends in WebSphere technology and implementation, participate in technically focused briefings, webcasts, and podcasts at the following link. And then you can join Global WebSphere User Group community where you can discuss different WebSphere-related topics. You can access key products, show me demos, tutorials, by visiting the IBM Education Assistant. You can view webcast replay step-by-step instructions for using the service request tool for submitting problem management records electronically. Then you can sign up to receive weekly technical minor notification emails where you'll get the latest on new and new technical updates related to our products. Slide 22. Okay, Joseph?
Thank you, Eric, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Sherry, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Brent Morris, your line is open.
Yes, I was just wondering, what performance improvements for the product have you seen by being able to offload the security to the MQ base install?
Well, you know, I can only suspect that, you know, from my experience, that we won't have issues related to synchronization between the config manager as well the config manager and its brokers that we saw in 6.1. Are you familiar with that?
Somewhat, yes.
Okay. Well, so because the config manager will no longer be involved, we won't have the synchronization taking place, so there isn't the duplication there of data between the config manager and the broker. Part of what caused some of those issues, some of the customer requirements were to administer different properties of the broker through the config manager API exerciser. So that in itself caused a lot of data to flow, you know, initially from the config manager to the broker and then back from the broker to the config manager. And then as part of the resync process, it would go and have to resync all that information. So we had typically the performance type issues that we encountered there in the earlier versions of the 6.1 version of the product really affected the config manager processes and not so much the broker processes. But in any case, you won't see those issues anymore in the product.
All right. Thank you.
Is that good enough to, did you have another follow up on that?
No, thank you very much.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Pat Mogulnicki.
Hello. We typically separate out our application team for creating execution groups and deploying to it from being able to modify broker properties. Is there a way that you can do that with this configuration?
Okay, you're able to. Can you repeat that again? I'm sorry.
Our application teams, we allow them to create execution groups
okay. And
deploy to those in our current releases. And we have a separate team that manages the broker configuration and its properties. Is there a way of separating that out with this security?
Okay, so one is just the broker level, and the next is the execution group level, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, with respect to which properties there, are you talking about like database connectivity type?
Database or HTTPS configurations?
Yes. Now, that's the thing. There's going to be different. That's really going to be, I suspect, on more of a case-by-case basis. For example, you know, when you run the MQSI set DB parms command to set some parameters for database connectivity with the broker, of course the execution groups are going to be affected by that because they're going to be running under the broker service ID, which is going to pick up those commands. I think
we just want to separate out from what the application teams can do,
right?
And the broker support.
Right. Well, I mean, in the case of MQSI set DB parms command, for example, you would, you know, if you have a MQ brokers group, which sounds to me like what you were using before to administer the broker, they are not necessarily, if you implement security and you don't have them, you know, Pat, I think the best thing to do is follow up with an email or a problem management record for that to give me maybe some examples from your environment specifically of what you're doing, and then we could kind of do some type of mapping there to see if we can implement that in the new in version 7.
Okay.
I suspect we can, but every example I come up with, I do kind of see some holes there as well.
Okay, and then one other question for the inactive security. Does that mean you have to be a member of the MQM group to be able to do all of this and no one else can do it?
To activate security?
If it's inactive.
If it's inactive. Right, you're going to need to be in MQ Brokers and MQM.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Inza from Cigna.
Hi, this is Ying. I have a question about these system broker objects, because when we create a broker in version 7, there are about like a 40-something system broker MQQs are created. Now, when we set up the security, enable the broker security, how much lockdown do we have to do at each individual object level?
What do you mean, how much lockdown?
Well, meaning, like, do we have to set the authority on all of the system broker objects and MQQs, or there are, in your presentation, your focus is on the system broker auths and system broker auths execution groups.
Right.
But there are a lot more than just these queues. So do we have to set security on these queues as well?
I'm assuming those on other queues, you're going to be using those for message broker administrators, which are going to be in MQM and MQ brokers groups.
Okay.
Now, for the execution groups, that's where you're going to you're basically setting up a security model that prevents unauthorized users from accessing different properties of those execution groups, or performing certain tasks on those execution groups. And that's where those system broker auth queues will need to be configured so they allow that connectivity and those tasks to be performed.
Okay. Now, for instance, I just see a queue, let's say system broker EDA events. Okay, for instance, for this queue, what kind of authority we need to grant for two developers? Or do they have access? Should have access to this queue at all?
This is the which queue?
System broker EDA event.
Yeah, this isn't one of the system broker auth queues that you would be accessing. The system broker auth queues, it's system broker auth and then execution group name. Those are the queues that you're going to need to be concerned with. With regards to your developers and setting up security.
Okay, rest of the So the rest. Okay.
Yeah, the rest is developers are not going to need access to. For example, I gave a table. Not sure if you still have the presentation up, but I gave a table here that kind of outlines the tasks and the authorizations required for those tasks, where it gives you the. You know, those, like I said, those lists of tasks there, Now, what you'll do is you'll take that, you'll figure out what the authorization is in that table, whether it's read, write, or execute, right? And then you'll also see the name of the queue there. If it says systembroker.auth in that table, then that's the only queue that you need to be concerned with. Now, if it says system.broker.auth.executiongroupname, right, then you need to be concerned with the with whatever that execution group name is for that queue. And then you can take the authorization, whether it be read, write, or execute, and then map that onto the other table that I provided, which shows you how to translate those message broker 7 authorization concepts like read, write, and execute, and translate those into the appropriate set MQ auth commands that you would actually issue, and then you would set up those permissions in the MQ security model using those set MQ auth commands. Does that make sense there?
Yeah, I think I'm set. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Andrew Kirkland.
Hi. In previous version 7, obviously the ACL was based on the user ID that the user passed and had nothing to do with what was ever coded in the MQ channel. And the user ID actually didn't have to exist on the platform the broker was running on, correct?
In version 6.1, my experience is that you would need the user. Well, unless are you talking about using the MCA user ID defined on the channel?
Yes.
Well, then that takes over.
That takes over now in version 7?
If you set the MCA user ID on the channel and you're connecting to a broker, the MCA user ID should take over.
Are you talking about it? You talking about before version 7 or in version 7?
I suspect in both is going to be
the
same.
In version 6, it doesn't matter what's ever in the MCA. It's what the user passes. So whatever my Windows user ID is, that's what the broker sees. That's what the configuration manager sees.
Okay.
So you're saying is in version 7, it doesn't matter what my user ID is. It's going to now be whatever the user ID associated with the MQ put is?
Well, that's going to give you That's going to give you permissions to come across on MQ if you set the MCA user ID, and then so that I suspect.
See what I'm getting at?
That's going to give right.
The way we set up security is it's all based on the LAN ID the Windows user ID the person's using. The only thing that the MCA is used for is access to the configuration manager queue. So all the security in the ACL is based on the Windows user IDs, and they don't exist on the broker box now.
Okay,
my concern is that all these Windows users, their user IDs don't exist on the broker's server.
And you're concerned about having to create those on the
broker machine. I won't be able to. That's the problem. They don't fit our standards. So I'm just trying to figure out how we're going to map our current security model into this new model.
Yeah, that's something I would have to.
It's even worse if they're talking about ZOS.
I think that's worth opening a ticket to go in and investigate that. Do you have a version 7 broker up and running yet?
Not yet, no.
Okay, if you're in a position to do so, I would set up a message broker 7 and then try to set the MCA user. That's going to give you permission there. There shouldn't be any other checking in that case, though, because the broker itself doesn't do any. That's going to be tough because, if you're setting the MCA user.
Right.
Then
so in pre-version 7, the only thing the MCA was used for was access to the configuration manager's input queue. But all the ACL security is based on the user ID of the person who actually did the put, not the MCA user ID.
Yeah, I think the best approach for that is to open up a ticket and let us investigate how that's going to work. You're not going to want to use an MCA user in that case, because then that would just give everyone access.
Right. And then you run into the problem where all these user IDs don't exist on the platform.
Yeah, once you get version 7 broker up, I would open up a ticket for that, and you can feel free to ask for me.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Virginia Mitchell.
Hello.
Hello, Virginia.
I just had a question on the MQSI command line commands.
Okay.
The only way to execute those now are to be a member of the MQ broker group?
Well, which MQSI commands are you talking about?
I was looking at, create execution group. Would that work? As long as you provide the access to the auth execution group name queue?
Well, that is, right now, that's going to be in the table that I provided. That's going to be one of the deploy commands here. For example, in the task that I said create, delete, rename execution groups, you're going to need read and write on the system broker auth queue.
Okay.
But now you won't be able to change those execution groups. Excuse me. You won't be able to start and stop those execution groups until you give it execute privileges on the execution group name queue or the system broker auth queue.
Right. Okay. What about the trace command?
The MQSI change trace command?
Right.
That should fall under changing or setting execution group properties. In the task that I've listed there.
And then I believe there's the reload.
Again, that's going to involve a stop and start.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay.
At this time, I have no questions in queue.
Thank you, Sherry. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.